Right. Welcome back, everyone. You know, we've been getting a lot of requests to take a look at some of the more well-known texts from a totally different angle. And, you know, we always love a good challenge, right?
Right.
So today we're tackling the book of 1 Samuel.
Okay.
But, and here's the twist, we're looking at it through a purely secular lens. You sent us some excerpts from a fascinating analysis titled A Secular Look at 1 Samuel, Stories, Morals, and More.
Yeah, that's a good one. Lots to unpack there.
It really is. So buckle up, listeners, because we're about to go on a wild ride.
We'll be exploring the historical context, you know, the time period when these events supposedly happened.
Right. And we can't forget the main players, Samuel, Saul, David.
Yeah.
These guys were like the rock stars of their time.
Uh-huh, yeah. And of course, we'll be diving into the moral dilemmas that pop up when you view this ancient text through a modern lens. It's always interesting to see how our values and perspectives have changed over time.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in, shall we? The story kicks off with Hannah. Now, Hannah desperately wants a child, but she can't conceive. It's heartbreaking, right? So she pours her heart out to God in prayer. And eventually, she gives birth to a son, Samuel. But here's the catch. She vowed to dedicate Samuel to God's service.
Wow, that's a big commitment. I mean, can you imagine listeners making that kind of promise? The weight of that, knowing your child's life is essentially predetermined.
It definitely makes you think about, well, parental expectations and the pressures that existed back then. But it also raises questions about Hannah's agency. Did she really have a choice? Or was this decision driven by societal pressures and religious obligation?
Yeah, that's a good point. It really highlights the limited roles women had in that society. It's a theme that we see throughout 1 Samuel, women navigating a patriarchal system where their options were pretty restricted.
Exactly. It's a glimpse into their world, their struggles. And speaking of struggles, fast forward a bit, and the Israelites decide they want a king.
Oh, here we go.
Right. They're like, hey, all the cool nations have kings. We want one too. A king will make us stronger, more unified.
They wanted to fit in.
Totally. So enter Saul, stage left. At first glance, he seems like the perfect choice. Tall, handsome, strong.
The whole package.
Exactly. But as we know, appearances can be deceiving.
Oh, tell me about it. Saul's story is a classic case of cower corrupts. You know, he starts out strong, he's guided by Samuel, has some military victories. But over time, disobedience creeps in, pride, maybe even some mental health issues.
Yeah, the text does hint at that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how mental illness was perceived and addressed back then.
Absolutely. And of course, his decisions become more erratic, eventually leading to his downfall. It's almost Shakespearean, you know, the rise and fall of a tragic hero.
Absolutely. Okay, but now we have to talk about the story that everyone and their grandmother knows, David and Goliath.
Oh, the underdog tale for the ages.
Seriously, it's got everything. A young shepherd, a giant warrior, impossible odds.
And a slingshot. Don't forget the slingshot.
Right. David, this little guy, takes on Goliath, who's basically terrorizing the Israelites. Everyone thinks he's nuts.
Suicidal, even.
But guess what? David takes him down with a single stone from his sling. Boom. Giant defeated. Talk about an epic showdown.
Epic, sure. But let's be real for a second. Could a giant like Goliath have actually existed? And let's say, for argument's sake, that he did. Could David, with his, what, zero military experience, really take down this seasoned warrior with just a slingshot?
That's quite.
It really highlights that tension between, you know, taking things literally and understanding the symbolic power of these narratives. Like, what's the message here? What are they trying to convey?
I think that's something for our listeners to ponder. But anyway, back to the story. David's victory over Goliath makes an instant celebrity. And guess who's not too happy about that?
Saul.
Bingo. Saul becomes incredibly jealous, paranoid even. He sees David as a threat to his throne, which, to be fair, he kind of is.
Well, yeah.
And this kicks off years of conflict, you know, cat and mouse chases, battles. It's all fueled by ambition and power struggles.
Yeah.
It gets pretty messy.
It's a classic power struggle, really. And it forces us to confront some uncomfortable questions about divine favoritism. The text portrays God as being on David's side. Even when David, let's face it, makes some pretty questionable choices.
Like when he basically becomes a mercenary for the Philistines, the very people he's supposed to be fighting against.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Not at all. So begs the question, is it morally right for a higher power to seemingly choose favorites, to endorse one person over another, even if the chosen one isn't always acting righteously?
It's a tough question, and it's one that has resonated throughout history. I mean, think about all the times people have justified their actions by claiming they were doing God's will.
It's a lot to think about. And it brings us to a crucial point. When we read 1 Samuel through a secular lens, it's impossible to ignore the inconsistencies with our modern understanding of, well, everything.
Science, morality, you name it. Like, we mentioned Goliath. Today, we know giants don't roam the earth. And the whole slingshot thing, well, it makes for a great story, but in reality,
it's probably not the most accurate depiction of ancient warfare.
Exactly. And that's okay. It's important to remember that 1 Samuel is a product of its time. The cultural context shapes the narratives, influences the beliefs and practices depicted in the stories.
So we have to approach it with that understanding. We can appreciate it as a historical artifact, a window into a different time, while also acknowledging that some aspects might not align with our modern values and knowledge.
Right. It's not about dismissing these stories. It's about engaging with them critically, questioning, analyzing, and drawing our own conclusions.
And who knows? Maybe we can even learn something from them, even if it's just a reminder of how far we've come as a society.
That's a great way to put it. So, listeners, if any of this has sparked your curiosity, and I hope it has, I encourage you to check out 1 Samuel for yourselves. Read it with an open mind, a critical eye.
And here's a final thought to chew on. How might these stories be interpreted differently if they were written today in our modern world? It's a thought-provoking exercise that highlights just how much our perspectives have shifted over time.
It's definitely worth considering.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this journey through 1 Samuel. We'll see you next time.
See ya.